Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Empowerment Place with another episode of Fire and Desire. Your host, Valerie Burwell, and Prophet Rodney Beeney.
Excited
to be back with you all again to share with you a word from the Lord.
Yes.
I was sharing with Prophet how I'm excited about this topic. It's not over. It's not over. And, you know, we can hope to apply that to a lot of areas in our life. That's not over. It's not over. So can't get caught up with circumstances that we're facing at the moment, just knowing that it's not over. So
amen.
Just flow with how the Lord speaks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you want to start off, Prophet? We're going to go straight into the Word. You want
to? Yeah. Let's. We're gonna kind of share tonight about. I want to kind of revisit the plan of God tonight. I want to kind of use some analogies and kind of explain it a little bit more tonight. How the plan of God works and our role in the plan of God. But again, the focus is going to be on not giving up, not quitting. And not being persuaded by circumstances. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So let's lift up a prayer and we'll get right in. Father, we just bless you tonight. We're so grateful for this day, for this opportunity, for this medium, for this technology that you've created, God, and released in the earth for us to fully exploit and benefit from, Father God, to propagate the message of the kingdom. God, we thank you, God, for the grace that's upon our lives. We celebrate that even tonight, God. Thank you, God, for the lives that will be transformed, the minds that will be renewed, and, God, the lives that will be empowered through this message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Prophet, it's Valerie. Let's start in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and let's take a look at some verses here, verses 23 through 26. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, it says this, it says, "But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor."
Amen.
Amen. And verse 23, Prophet, is God, Jesus makes a declaration. He says, the hour has come for the manifest glory of God. Amen. He declares that this is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified. God is, and this hour is going to manifest his glory in me and through me. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the key here is to look at the progression of things that he declares afterwards. After he makes this declaration that the hour has come, now in verse 24 and 25, he begins to talk about dying, or falling to the ground and dying. He says in verse 24, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone."
Mm-hmm.
And so what we have to understand when it comes to the manifest glory of God is a lot of times death or a dying precedes the glory. Amen? Death or a dying precedes the manifest glory of God. Lazarus actually died before the glory was revealed.
Yes.
Amen? He actually died. And it's interesting that in several places in that particular account, it declares, it says specifically that Lazarus is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I mean, it leaves no room for questioning. It leaves no room for doubt as far as the condition or the status of this man. The Bible says Lazarus, who is dead, and it speaks specifically regarding his state and his status.
Amen.
And so, but Jesus had declared that it's not going to end in death, but for the glory of God. In other words, we're going to see the glory of God in this thing. And so Lazarus is a prime example of how, in a lot of instances, death or dying or falling to the ground, things falling apart, you know, things breaking, things not working, things in disarray, things dis- disrupted, things interrupted, you know, things in a state of chaos, things looking like, you know, it's never going to work, it's never going to produce, it's never going to be productive. Things looking like this a lot of times is, in fact, a setup for the manifestation of the glory of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so it's important for us as people of God and kingdom-minded people to understand that. Because if we don't understand that, what happens is we might be persuaded by our circumstances to not continue to believe that we're going to see the glory of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now, let's take just a little minute to talk about faith for a minute. Basic faith, faith 101, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Faith is not persuaded by circumstance.
No.
Faith is persuaded by who God is and what God says.
Amen.
Amen. That's what persuades faith. We cannot afford to be persuaded by our circumstances. Our circumstances will serve to deceive us if, in fact, we're not operating in true and real faith.
Yes.
We should never, you know, I don't believe God is going to manifest his glory in my life because of what I'm seeing right now. That's those of you who are listening or who are going to hear this message in the days to come, if you were to focus on what you're seeing right now and buy into the reality of what you're seeing in the natural realm right now, you will probably give up and quit.
Yeah, definitely.
Amen.
Definitely.
And so that's the whole essence of our faith. Faith is not persuaded by what I see. Faith is not persuaded. I don't believe God because of what I'm seeing. I believe God because I know who God is, and I believe in what he says. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Faith does not deny the existence of something. Faith does not operate in denial mode. Amen. You know, if I'm having a pain in my chest, faith doesn't deny that there's a pain in my chest.
Right.
Faith simply is going to respond, you know, based upon what God has said, what God is saying to me about this pain in my chest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are moving in assault of what is not really real faith.
Yeah.
And you know, you got a pain in your chest, you're operating in denial mode saying it's not there. You're going to have a heart attack.
Yes, yes.
Because that's not faith.
Yeah.
That's foolishness.
That's foolishness.
Yes. So faith never operates in denial mode. In fact, nothing just happens. Things shift and move by means of being addressed. So if we don't address certain things, they're not going to move. They're not going to change. If I don't address this pain that I might be experiencing, all right, by means of faith, it's not going to move.
Hmm.
It's not going to move. I have to address things by means of faith. I have to address things by means of the word of God. I don't respond based on just circumstances, but I respond in faith, meaning I respond based on the word of God. I respond based on what God is saying and what God has revealed to me he wants to do concerning this particular thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
We don't operate in denial mode. And one of the things that's challenging, we talked about this last week, I believe, is the fact that in life you have to be able to look at the reality of your situation and respond in faith. If your situation does not look good at all right now, you still have to look at the reality of it and still respond in faith. If the marriage is all messed up right now, you still have to look at the reality of the situation. You can't avoid coming home every day because your marriage is messed up. That's not going to address it.
Amen.
That's not going to do anything to change it. That's not going to do anything to help it. The fact that you can't stand to look at it, so you just avoid it. You're operating in denial mode.
Denial, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not faith.
Yeah. Amen.
That's not faith. Amen. And we got people doing that. We're operating in denial mode, so we're trying to avoid things. We're trying to avoid thinking about things.
Mm.
But that's not to not address it. It's to operate in denial mode, which is actually to deny the opportunity for faith to address it.
Amen.
So we've got to be able to, you know, look at things and face the reality of things that's going on in our life and speak to it. Address it. Don't respond to it. Respond to God concerning it.
Yeah, Yeah. But, you know, when you're sharing that, I think about, you know, when we talk about faith and we talk about, you know, how we're dealing with it or we're denying it, it's amazing to me. And I think we've shared this back in previous teachings about when it comes to faith, we trust a chair. We trust a piece of furniture. We have faith that when we sit, it's going to hold us. And
Amen.
We don't flinch. We just sit down. You know, you put
Amen.
The key in ignition, you expect it to work. You go to work, you expect to get paid. It takes nothing for you to fathom that this won't occur.
Amen.
But here it is when God speaks his word to you and he's given you instruction and he's given you insight and he's given you promises that when, like you said, a circumstance appears, a circumstance happens, you know, it's out of the blue, as you would think. But it's an opportunity for God to show you where you are in him.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what I see. You know, when it's a faith thing, that's my test. You know, a lot of people say, well, God is trying. No, that's my test, because if I'm just giving lip service to God to say, God, I trust you, but I really don't, then he's going to give an opportunity to show me just where I am.
Amen.
And
absolutely.
Even with that, when that circumstance happens, don't get yourself to a place where you're so discouraged and dismayed because you chose the wrong option. When that pain in your chest started and you said, oh, God, Lord, I'm about to have a heart attack. That just lets you know, okay, you know what? You're going to have to redirect some things that you're doing. You're going to have
Amen.
To get in his presence a little bit more. You're going to have
Amen.
To really have some conversation with him a little bit more, because you're too caught up in yourself and you're too caught up in your circumstances to really understand that God is there.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Amen. I repeat what I said. We got to get to the point where we respond. We don't respond to it. We don't respond to the circumstance, but we respond to God concerning it.
Absolutely.
And that's not, you just said something very important. That's not something that you just do. That's something that you train yourself to do.
Absolutely.
You have to train yourself not to respond to the circumstance directly, but you respond to God concerning the circumstance.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And again, that's not just something that you're going to turn over in your bed and start doing tomorrow.
No.
Without having spent any time, you know, with God and getting and developing your personal relationship with God so that, you know, you develop a level of trust in him.
Yes.
That doesn't just happen.
Yes.
And you have to invest in your relationship with the Father in order to get to that place where you trust him more than the circumstance. I'll say that again. You got to get to the place in your relationship where you trust God more than the circumstance, because whatever you trust is what you're going to respond to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Fear, prophetess Valerie, is faith in reverse. Fear is actually a form of faith. But
yes.
It's faith in reverse.
Yes.
Fear
yes.
is having faith or trusting in the opposite information or the wrong information.
The wrong information. Amen.
Amen. If you were to approach me right now and say, you know, I'm going to kill you.
Ooh.
Now, if I believe what you say, I'm going to respond accordingly.
Amen.
Which means I'm going to tick myself up and I'm going to get up out of your way. I'm going to get this
down.
I'm going to, I'm going to move up out of your way. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, why? Because I believe the words that you say.
Right.
I believe,
right.
number one, you have every intent of doing what you said you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I have faith that you are capable of bringing it to pass.
Wow.
So fear is the exact opposite of faith. It's a form of faith, but the reverse of faith. You know, you won't respond. You're not afraid of someone unless you believe that what they're saying and believe that they're capable of bringing it to pass.
Yeah.
Elijah was afraid of Jezebel because Jezebel declared, "If it's the last thing I do, I'm a take you out of here." He believed what she said, and he believed also that she had every intent to bring it to pass, and she could, in fact, bring it to pass. So he took off and ran. He had faith in her words.
Wow.
That's fear. So we got to get to the place where we trust God more than the circumstance. Because if I fear my circumstance, I respond to it.
Amen.
Because I got more faith in the circumstance than I do in God.
Amen.
Than I do in God. And like you say in Prophet Valerie, in the school of life, in the class of life in general, these things will be revealed concerning us. These are not things that you can't fake faith.
You can't.
You know, you can't fake faith. Faith is real.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to accomplish the things that God purposed us to accomplish, and even to live a productive and fruitful life, we've got to walk in real faith.
Real faith.
Not this hype stuff, not this fake stuff, not this lip service stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be real faith that's based on real trust, that's at the foundation of it all is a strong relationship with the Father.
And that's fundamental, a relationship with the Father. And, you know, when we talk about that relationship with the Father and how that's a part of kingdom expansion.
Yes.
Without faith in the Father, without understanding who he is and what he has for you, you can't understand kingdom.
Amen. Absolutely.
You can't, because if you are not trusting God and taking him at his word, having faith in him, and you're relying on what man is imparting into you, and he's not spent time with God, then that's religion.
Amen. Absolutely.
Because we've religiously listened to man give us their own opinion, their own scenario, whatever's going to benefit them. But here you have faith in God and understanding his kingdom and his kingdom principles. The benefit is yours.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we gotta understand that. It's important for us to understand that everything Jesus says, and you know, things such as, you know, greater works than these shall you do.
Yeah.
If you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. You know, all these things, all these declarations that Jesus is making, they're all based on relationship.
Yeah.
They're all based on a certain level of relationship. This is why, you know, things like, you know, whatsoever you ask in my name,
mm-hmm.
he will give it to you. That's
why
sometimes that doesn't work for everybody,
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to flow in that without having the type of relationship that's required for that.
Yeah.
You know, we got people that's trying to do things, but they've not invested in the relationship that's actually at the foundation of being able to do those things. And so, you know, they're asking for things. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, they're asking for things. And it's not coming to pass. It's not. They're not seeing those requests fulfilled. Why? Your relationship is not at the place of maturity where you even understand what Jesus is talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you got to understand that, you know, you got to invest time in developing your relationship, because everything he says when it comes to those type of things is based on the type of relationship he has with the Father. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, he's talking about, you know, he's making provision now so you can have the same level of relationship that he has. He says, where I am, that you may be also.
Yeah.
I want you in the same place, the same position, the same position of authority. I want you in the same position as I am. Where I am, that you may be also. It also speaks to relationship. And that was his objective. That was his purpose. And so it's imperative of us to come into that place of relationship so that we have the same flow in our lives as he had.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
we enjoy the same benefits that he enjoyed.
Absolutely. And I think, too, when it comes to it and we understand the fact that it's not over and we look at, you know, the many different accounts that talk about faith, sometimes having faith in God will bring persecution to you.
Yes, absolutely.
But even when that comes, that's just another circumstance. I had a conversation this morning with two out of three of my daughters about choices and circumstances and how when you trust God, doesn't matter what it looks like, you have to know that there is an expected end.
Yes.
And when you trust God, no matter what it looks like, and you do what God is directing you to do, somebody is not going to be happy.
Yes.
But just
yes.
because they're disheartened because you're taking a stand and trusting God, you can't be moved by that.
That's right.
We have to understand, too, that people come in our lives often for seasons. And sometimes we've talked about this, too. Sometimes we hold on to people that God is telling us to dismiss.
Yes, amen.
Because
amen.
They've gotten in the way of our faith connection with God. Now I'm relying on a person.
Right.
And
amen.
By relying on them, I'm drawing my circumstance to an end, but it's not going to benefit me.
Amen. Amen.
We've got to go through whatever it is that's been presented or that you're facing right now. You've got to trust God and go through it.
Yes. Yes.
You got to go through
process.
It.
Yes.
Nobody ever wins a race if they stop in the middle of the race.
That's right.
I don't care how many cramps you get in your leg. I don't care if you want to throw up. If you got feel like you got to pass out. You're not gonna cross the finish line if you give up in the middle of the race.
Amen. That's right. Got to endure to the end.
You got to endure.
Amen.
You got to endure to the end. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's talk a little bit more now about this manifest glory, this glory manifesting in our lives.
Amen.
As God moves to manifest his glory in our lives, one of the things that kind of makes it challenging for us is the fact that God doesn't always show his hand.
And
he doesn't always show his hand. Amen. And so that comes into the significance of that is the fact that the plan of God can be viewed as a container. The plan of God, look at the plan of God as a container.
Hmm.
All right? God tells you, sow a seed. You put that seed and it goes in the container of the plan of God. You do what he tells you to do, it goes in the container. Next month, he tells you to forgive this particular person that offended you. You follow that instruction, it goes into the container. Next week, he tells you to go bless this person with a ride or help this person. You follow that instruction, it goes into the container.
Wow.
Next month, he tells you, okay, now you need to shift. I need you to make this shift and connect with this group over here that's doing this kingdom teaching because it's going to help you. So you make that move, and that goes into the container. This goes on, this process continues on throughout the course of your life. Now, here's the challenge. A lot of times while this process is ongoing, you don't see anything. You see nothing happening. And so after you've been going through this process, following instructions, taking steps, making moves, sometimes you get to a point you haven't seen anything happen, you begin to question. What's the point of all this? You know, I expected something to happen by now. And nothing has happened. Well, you got to understand, God doesn't always show his hand. Now, you're making a contribution to the plan of God. God also makes contributions to the plan. But again, he doesn't always show his hand. And so what's going to happen now, what's going to happen at an appointed time, prophet, is there's going to be a merger. There's going to be a merger. What God has done and has prepared to do is going to merge with the steps you take.
Wow. Wow.
And that's what's going to produce the glory of God.
Wow.
You got to stay in this thing until the merger takes place. Because God hasn't showed you his hand yet. You know, one of the things that we use this word flippantly, we use it, you know, loosely, but we talk about blessed. God bless it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we declare when we ask God to bless something, what we're actually asking God to do is, God, add yours to it.
Ooh.
Add yours to it. When Jesus is going to feed the multitudes, you know, they had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. In one of the accounts, it says, in 3 of the accounts, it says Jesus looked up to heaven and gave thanks. In one of the accounts, it says he blessed it. When he blessed it, he asked the Father, add yours to it.
Wow.
It's not going to make any sense, Prophetess Valerie, until God adds his to it.
Absolutely.
My God, I said something right there, Prophetess.
Absolutely.
It's not going to make any sense. What you have been led to do, and sometimes, many times, what God has instructed you to do doesn't make any sense sometimes because, you know, it's nothing happened. It didn't produce anything. It doesn't make any sense that you're going to take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and try to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. That doesn't make any sense at all. But what you got thrown up there, God's going to bless it. He's going to add his to it. He's going
to
add his to it. There's going to be a merger. Yes. There's going to be a merger of God and man. And when that merger takes place, now we see the manifestation of the glory of God.
Wow.
The glory of God. So you know what? You can't give up because it's not over. It's not over. Do not be persuaded by your circumstances to no longer believe that you're going to see the glory of God. Let's go down to Lazarus' house. Let's go down to Lazarus' house. And of course, you know the story is in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. You know, Mary and Martha, the sister, sent to Jesus saying, you know, Lazarus, your friend, he's sick. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't look too well. And you know, they were trying to really manipulate him to come right away because they said, Lazarus, your friend whom you love.
Yes.
You know, okay, they had to say all that. He know that.
He
know how he feel about the one who you love.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's an attempt to manipulate you and try to get you to move based on their timing.
Yes.
You got to be careful of people who will subtly try to manipulate you. Amen?
Some subtly, some not so subtly, but yes.
Exactly, some not so subtly. You know, just blatant with it sometimes. But be careful of that people will try to get you to move in their timing to serve their own agenda. But Jesus didn't move. And he said, he made a declaration, though. He says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now watch this, Prophetess. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. That was verse 4, where he makes the declaration. In verse 17, it says, when Jesus came, when he got there, when he got to Bethany, it says he found that he had been already in the tomb
four days. Yeah.
He's been dead 4 days. Now he's been in the tomb 4 days. And so now he's finding this out when he gets there. But he's not persuaded by circumstances.
That's right.
He's not persuaded by circumstances. He's persuaded by what his Father revealed to him that he's going to do. His Father revealed to him that it's not going to end in death, but for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the circumstances do nothing to persuade him at all. Then here comes Mary and Martha, and they give their little dissertation and their little, you know, they add theirs to it. You know, if you had been here, you know, they got had a little attitude at that point.
Showed up on time.
Amen. I mean, them sisters, they got that. I can envision them having that neck movement going. You know, the sisters get that neck.
With the hand on the hip and the whole nine.
Amen. And so, you know, here they come, and they're not able to persuade him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not able to persuade him. Now watch this now. It makes no sense whatsoever for you to come to a place and find out that somebody has been in a tomb for 4 days, for you to go to the tomb and act like, have the audacity to act like the man is going to live.
Mm-mm-mm.
Makes no sense at all. But what you got to understand, he was persuaded by what was revealed to him by God. He was not responding to circumstances, but he's responding to the word of the Lord concerning the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
That's real faith.
Yes.
He does not even deny that the man is dead.
Nope.
Because at one point, he says in verse 14, it says, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's not operating in denial.
Denial, yeah. He's fully aware.
Exactly. denial mode. He's not denying the existence of the state of this man. He's fully aware of the circumstance he's getting ready to face. Okay? So, you know, he's operating real faith. He's demonstrating real faith here. The fact that, you know, he's ruling based upon what the Father has revealed to him, and what the Father has revealed to him that he's going to do. He's not responding to the circumstance. He's not being persuaded by what people are saying regarding the circumstance. Amen?
Yeah, he's fully aware and confident.
Yes, fully aware and confident. You know, we can pause Lazarus' account right here and go to Abraham in Romans chapter 4. He's another man. He's called the father of faith because he's teaching us a whole lot about faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, now consider this now. Here's a man now, the Bible says, he did not consider his body, his age, or his body, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. It makes no sense whatsoever. Oh, boy, this is going to be a little graphic, but I got to say it. It makes no sense whatsoever that you would even go and even think about trying to have sex.
At
that age, not even to think about, you know, producing a child. But he didn't consider that.
Amen.
He didn't consider that. Why? He's not persuaded by his circumstance. Somebody need to tell yourself right now, it's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over. If it wasn't over for Abraham and it wasn't over for Sarah, it's not over for you. Amen?
It's not over.
Do not be persuaded by circumstances. Do not be persuaded by circumstances. It is not over. It is not over. Death, dying, falling away, things not working, things breaking down, a lot of times are a divine setup for the glory of God manifesting. Do not be deceived by your circumstances. It is not over. It is not over. Amen?
Yeah, I like Romans 5, verse 1. We're talking about faith. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're justified by faith.
Yes.
When you're justified by something, that's establishment.
Amen. Amen.
So you're establishing God by your faith in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's not over.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's not over.
It's not over. Amen. So
Amen.
Jesus goes down to the tomb, prophetess. He goes down to the tomb. He would not allow Mary and Martha to persuade him. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow the fact that he found out how long the man's been dead to persuade him. Amen. How many of you know that, you know, when you walk in real faith, you got to be able to deal with naysayers?
Yes.
You got to be able to deal with the doubters.
Yes.
And the people that's going to, like you said earlier, the people that's going to say things to you that you're absolutely crazy. You've lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This man's been dead for 4 days. He's been in a tomb for 4 days. You're absolutely crazy, ludicrous to think that, you know, something good could come out of this.
Yeah.
But you're not persuaded by circumstances. You're not persuaded by the negative things that people say. You're not persuaded by all of that. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the
ungodly.
Amen.
Yeah.
No sickness is discordful. You know, all these things going to come at you when you have to take a walk of real faith.
Yeah.
Naysayers, doubters. Cool. I call them hyenas.
And you do a really good hyena laugh.
That's the hyenas, amen, the laughing hyenas. They show up, amen, when you're at the point of getting your spoil, getting your blessing.
Yes,
they cause havoc, confusion, and cause you to walk away from your blessing.
Yes, yes.
You got to deal with all these things
and,
when it comes to walking in real faith.
And, you know, you talk about the hyena, and, you know, they come and they do all that squawking to make you run, and then they benefit.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, that goes to say that there are things that God has planted in you. There are visions and businesses and solutions. I'm just going to call them solutions to things that are happening now. That when you release the solution, like you said, your gift will take care of you. Provision will come because you've released. But when you share that with certain individuals about, well, you know, the Lord showed me this and I'm going to move forward, and they're going, oh, you're crazy. But they're writing down in their memory bank everything that you're saying.
Yes. Amen.
And they're going back home, and now they're going to work on it because they've discouraged you to the point that you're not going to do it anymore.
Right. Amen.
You're not even going to touch it, because every time you even act like you're going to open your mouth and share, they'd be like, oh, there you go again, talking that foolishness. Why don't you leave that alone? That's
Amen.
Not going to work.
Amen.
And they go right home, and then, you know, months later here, you see a patent come out, and it's your
right.
solution.
Amen. Amen. The hyena took
the hyena's home. Laughing.
Yes.
And God is just going, okay, so now, yeah, this hurts. This is stinging right now. This is a circumstance. Yes, it is. But trust that it's not over, because if I spoke to you the first time or the third time or the 30th time and I gave you some instruction and you didn't follow through, guess what? I'm going to speak to you again.
Amen.
But this time when I speak to you, I want you to do what I said.
Amen.
Trust
Amen.
Me enough that I'm going to fulfill what I've given you to do.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Learn from that
Learn
episode.
From it.
Yes. Take something away from that and determine that you'll never allow that to happen again.
Not ever. Not ever.
Amen.
Not ever.
Amen. Amen.
I think that just really speaks to how we understand who we are. When we understand our purpose, you know, when we understand his original intent for our lives, that when these things do happen, Prophet, that we're not pushed to think that it's over.
Amen. That's right.
We're not pushed
right.
there, because we're connecting the dots.
Yes. Amen.
No, we're connecting the dots.
Amen.
You know, when we were young, when we did those exercises with the books, connecting the dots, when you first looked at it, it just looked like a bunch of dots.
Exactly, exactly.
But God said, look, I'm going to show you now. Go here, go left, go up, now go down. When you finish connecting the dots, because you have faith in God, you'll see something that'll be so astounding, you'll be like,
Amen.
Oh, my God.
You'll see the glory.
You'll see the glory.
You'll see the glory. And that's the way the plan of God works. People, you got to understand the way the plan of God works. The plan of God is designed not to work apart from the contribution that you're supposed to make and that God is going to make.
Amen.
It's designed to work by means of merging together
mm-hmm.
the contributions that he's prepared always for you, and the instructions and the directions that he leads you to make and directs you to make, contributing to that plan. It's not designed to work apart from these contributions,
Amen.
Which is why it's so important that even though you're going through this process and you're not seeing anything, you know, that this is the challenge that we face. The plan is a process, and until this merger takes place, nothing that we're led to do appears to produce anything significant that can address the challenges that we may be facing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yet here comes another instruction.
Yes, yes, yes.
Here comes another direction to take another step. Here comes another instruction to make the next move. The plan of God is designed to work this way. The plan of God is not designed to produce any glory without contributions from us and God. There's a point coming in your life where God is going to bless it. He's going to add his to it.
Yeah.
This is why we lift things up to God. This is why we lift offerings up to God. You lift an offering up to God, it's not enough. This is why you sow a seed. It's not enough. This is one of the reasons you sow a seed. It's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So you lift it up to God and you said, God, I'm doing what you have instructed me to do. Bless it.
Bless it. Merge with my movement, God. Merge with
me. Exactly. And that's the key, what you just said. It's not just the fact that you're asking him to bless the money. You're asking him to bless that movement that corresponds to what he's doing.
Yes.
You're asking him to add yours to it. Because God is more than enough.
He is.
He's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient, the all-blessed one. He's more than enough.
He is more than enough. And we call him Alpha. We call him Omega. He is the beginning and the end. So if he states that he is beginning and end, how can you not have faith in that?
Yes, absolutely.
How can you think that it's over when he's telling you, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I'm your beginning, I am your end?
Amen. Amen.
That's expected.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. But keep in mind, a lot of the steps won't make any sense.
Yes.
A lot of the movements won't make any sense. They're not going to make any sense until God adds his to it. It won't make any sense until he blesses it, until the miracle takes place, when he adds his to it. The operation of the plan of God includes a combination of people, places, things, events, resources, and timing, some of which we are responsible for getting into place, and others God would do exclusively. God doesn't need any help with what he has purposed and prepared to do as part of the plan of God. Don't worry about what God is going to do. God is going to do God in life.
Yeah.
You're responsible for your contribution to the plan. The instructions that he's telling you, giving you, the directions that he's giving you.
Yeah.
You're responsible for that. God is going to be God. Don't worry about the fact that what he's telling you to do doesn't seem to mean, doesn't appear that it's going to map to a hill of beans. That it doesn't make any sense. Why am I doing this? This ain't gonna be enough. I need $10,000. You know, I'm dealing with 20s and 50s here. This ain't gonna be enough.
Yeah, keep on adding.
It's not gonna make any sense until God adds his step, his move.
And
you know,
it's something about that word merger, prophet. That
amen.
Merger. That is significant.
Yes,
because
it is.
When you look at corporations, when a merger happens, what happens with that? Expansion.
Exactly. Expansion. Enlargement.
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 Increase.
Whereas one by itself might not have been enough, might not have been sufficient, we bring the merger. When the merger takes place, all of a sudden, sufficiency manifests. Yes.
But that happens. You know, I hear synergy. Because the synergy
amen.
Had to take place before the merger could happen.
Yes, yes. Your actions are synergized with that movement of God.
Yes, and then you merge.
Exactly.
Ah!
It comes together at a point.
I go back. I'm seeing Sarah Abraham when there was some synergy and there was some movement.
Yes.
And
yes.
then because of that, a merger took place in her womb.
That's right. Amen.
My God. Oh,
amen.
My God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It ain't over.
That's right. It's not over. Don't be persuaded. Don't be deceived by your circumstance to believe that it's over.
Mm.
And now, before I got saved, prophetess, I was a card player. And if anybody's familiar with card games, one of the games that we played a lot was called California Jack. It's similar to Spades.
Okay.
But any of the card players know that, you know, when you're coming down to the crunch time, And you save some of your big cards, you know, you held back your ace or your king and things like that, your big cards. You know, when it comes time to make the big move, you throw out your card and you don't just put it down. Most card players will play it with some emphasis.
Yeah.
They go,
hell, like bam.
Yeah. I'm
Look
telling
at
you
this.
Right now, God is getting ready to go in your life.
You're
getting ready to play a card in your life that's going to change everything.
My God.
It's going to change everything. It's going to make everything in your circumstance look totally different, totally brand new. With one move, God is going to change everything.
My God.
Amen.
I receive.
Amen. Amen.
I receive.
God is never caught without a move.
Amen.
You can have God in check, a checkmate, whichever one it is. But he always has a move. He always has a move, and he's getting ready to make a move.
Mm.
He's getting ready to play his hand.
Mm.
He's getting ready to show you his glory.
Mm.
Amen.
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 It's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over.
It's not over.
It's not.
It's not.
Go over.
Declare that. Declare that to your circumstance. It's
not
over.
Over.
It's not over.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all for listening, for joining us. Join me on Thursday at 7, I think that's what time I scheduled it, for the topic, Who Defines You?
Amen.
Who Defines You? So join
that's
me on Thursday. Thank you so much for your constant prayers and your constant following. We appreciate you so much. Pray for us and we'll pray for you. And as always, every day, do something to empower your life. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you.
Amen.
All.